Hey there, folks. I'm glad you tuned in. I'm David Lodge, the voice of Jiraiya, the pervy toad sage, Kenpachi, the dragon from Dragon Dogma.
I am the dragon.
Here I am, proud to be part of the show called Two Dads Podcast.
Hey, what's Welcome. Up, guys?
We're two dads, and this is a podcast.
And this is another top five segment.
Five. Count them. One. There's a few others. Then there's number five.
Yeah, which five. Is where we start. Five is where it ends. Yeah. No, that's where we start. Yeah.
Okay. So we're sticking sort of on the mythological vein here. We're going to do our top five wizards.
Wizards, witches, sorcerers, and any Warlocks. Magical kind of human being. Well, it doesn't even have to be human, I guess, because technically, but we'll get into that. wizards. If you look at them and you're like, hey, he's a wizard.
You can tell they have a pointy hat.
Yeah, most of them, and yes.
A lot of times a staff.
Staff and either a cloak or a cape.
A sorcerer's stone of sorts.
Yeah, there's all kinds of ways you can tell. But anyway, so we're going to jump right in. Felix, you're number five.
My number five. We've been talking about him a lot this month, and it is Merlin. Merlin is my numero five. So, honestly, there's so many different stories around him that really, I mean, you can't just give out a backstory so easily. There are numerous texts written about this guy, but he plays probably the most pivotal role in the story.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And Merlin has been around literally since the Sword and the Stone, Excalibur. He's been around that long, you know, 600, 700 years, 800, I think. If you really go back far enough, you can find references to him in, you know, the 1100s. You know, he's been around for a very, very long time.
So, I mean, it's just an interesting character, no matter how it's portrayed, whether it's in the classic cartoon Sword in the Stone movie or if it's in the newer TV show Merlin.
Oh, yeah.
And it's a never-ending sort of pool of entertainment.
Oh, 100%. And
what is your number five?
Well, my number five is a modern classic, if you will. It's been, it's been around for over 20 years, but I had to go with Dumbledore.
Oh, nice.
You know, Harry Potter was such a large portion of, you know, my childhood, growing up, our generation in total. It had such an influence from the Harry Potter and that entire series. You know, I remember the first book, I was in second grade reading that, and then every time a new book came out, and Dumbledore, he was a fantastic character in both his kindness, while still being strict, and just obnoxiously powerful. I mean, he had the Elder Wand for a very, very long time, and he was just obnoxiously powerful. He was the only person that Voldemort was scared of.
Yeah.
You know, so when the big bad evil guy is scared of this guy, well, he's got to be a pretty badass wizard. So,
well, it's interesting you mention him, because my number four is Professor Albus Percival Warwick Brian Dumbledore.
Oh, see, mine was just Dumbledore, so we may not have the same person there. No, he was such an awesome character, and his backstory is, you know, we've gotten more of it and more of like where he came from and You know, J.K. Rowling has a really bad habit of, you know, throwing all this information in where it's not relevant.
Right.
you know, but if you go back and, you know, his war with Grindelwald, who was a good friend, and, you know, he's had to go through a lot of shit. I mean, he and his brother kind of fell out. His father died in Azkaban. Like, what the fuck was his father doing in Azkaban? Like, he had a rough childhood.
But you bring up that he is the only person probably Voldemort is afraid of. But he was also, he made so many advances in the community and through his work at the school.
More
acceptive of half muggles and stuff like that, and really being more inclusive. And he plays such an important role. And he lived to what? To be 115 before he was, you know, offed.
And not only was Voldemort afraid of him, Dumbledore led the resistance. I mean, he was the one who created the Order of the Phoenix. He led this entire movement against Voldemort. So, I mean, when you have somebody that influential and that powerful, he kind of has to make the list.
No doubt. So we've covered your five and my four. What's your four?
My number four is Doctor Strange.
Nice.
Yeah.
I love it.
I admit he's one of the characters in the Marvel Universe I haven't gone down the wiki hole. You know, I've done that with a lot of characters. I learned so much about them. I learned more about them than I ever thought I would. But there's something about Doctor Strange that he's just so badass.
Yeah, his powers and his abilities, him himself, it's such a complicated world to try and delve into.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, nothing's ever really as it seems. There's so many, you're dealing with alternate planes of existence and realities, and he is a sorcerer through and through. Like, he's not your classic wizard, as you would think.
Oh no, his powers, I mean, he literally can live forever, which is kind of freaking crazy. He can't get any diseases, and he doesn't age. He can still be killed, he can still be mortally wounded, he can still you know, die, but he will essentially live forever as long as somebody doesn't kill him. You know, and he's got all these different, you know, spells and blasts and bolts, and he can astral project, telepathy, telekinesis, he can fly, he, like, what can't he do? You know, he can manipulate time. Like, how crazy is that? You know, when you have one character this powerful, you know, it also leads to the enemies that he comes across being just as powerful, if not more so. And so, you know, when Doctor Strange comes around, you know some crazy shit's gonna happen. You know, with Dormammu, and he was part of the Civil War, and he was part of the Infinity Gauntlet. There's so much to him, and I definitely want to look more into him now that, you know, we've kind of set up this list.
Yeah.
But he's just so badass.
Well, he definitely seems like they started developing this character and then reached a point where they went, oh shit, we made this motherfucker so broken. How do we reel
him in?
How do
we reel him in? Yeah.
Because he can't be this out of control, like with his abilities and shit. So, no, that's a great choice. So, I'll move on to my number three.
Yes, sir.
And that would be Stevie Nicks. From Fleetwood Mac.
Stevie Nicks.
Wow. Not a witch in real life that we know of. He did portray one in the American Horror Story.
Okay, I'll let you finish.
Technically, I'm right on this one. Okay. Obviously, she's one of the great influences musically for rock and roll history.
Well, you see, you could say she was a wizard behind the mic, you know. She was
she was pivotal in Fleetwood Mac breaking big, and her song Rhiannon was her, like she said it herself, this is a song about a witch. She has been accused of being a witch. It has made life dangerous for her at times. And she's backed away and said she's not. But she's definitely one of those people.
That's exactly like what a witch would say.
She's one of those people like you and me who are very interested in stuff like this. And we will dress up for Halloween and love the holidays and do research and watch movies.
You know, paranormal and... Oh, yeah. I swear we have ghost adventures on all year round. It doesn't have to be October, you know?
And we might not practice in the arts, but we are very much interested in the arts and learning 100%. About it. She seems kind of like along those lines. But she did portray a witch in American Horror Story.
I guess that, technicality. Technicality.
She gets the nod. Well, she did it twice, though. She was in season 3, which was my favorite season of it, all about witches and shit like that. in Louisiana.
Some of the American Horror Story got really fucking weird.
Well, they,
some of the only stuff I remember is the one dude who dressed in like the gimp suit and murdered people. Like, there's some weird
shit. But she did she did come back to reprise her roles in later seasons, and for that, she is my number three.
Fair enough. My number three is a classic, and I mean classic. Been around since 1940, and that is Yen Sid.
Oh, nice.
Literally Disney spelled backwards. You know, he was the sorcerer in right. The Sorcerer's Apprentice in the segment of Fantasia.
He was in Fantasia, yeah.
You know, Fantasia 2000. He was in a couple little other like feature films and TV shows and some little stuff. But where he made his biggest appearance was one of my favorite game series of all time is Kingdom Hearts, where he was a huge part of the story. You know, he's a retired Keyblade master. You know, he has complete mastery and command over the arts of magic, and while he no longer actively wields a Keyblade, he's still like constantly in his tower is keeping an eye over the light and the darkness and keeping that balance between them. And he even taught Mickey everything he knows about magic and the Keyblade. So And then he becomes a mentor for, you know, Sora and Riku and all your main characters. But he's just so badass in a very classic way. You know, he doesn't take any shit.
You know, as a kid in Fantasia, just terrified the fuck out of me, you know?
Oh, dude, he constantly looks pissed off. And I love it. I love it. You know, and
yeah, no.
The way he comes in Fantasia and just is like, bro, Mickey, what the hell are you doing? And just bloop, 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 cleans everything up. And Mickey struggling, you know, it just shows his power and his depth of his abilities. You know, he's...
Well, to be fair, at that time, we had nothing else to compare it to. Maybe Mickey just sucked balls.
Yeah, I mean, that's fair. That's fair.
Average.
But, I mean, his ability to bring inanimate objects to life is still pretty freaking sweet as well.
Yeah.
You know? So, I don't know. And he's got such a classic, you know, place in my heart with Fantasia and Fantasia 2000. Absolutely loved those. I remember seeing Fantasia 2000 in IMAX with, what was the program called? Music Each, I think it is. We went to an IMAX theater to see that when it came out. And, you know, so, yeah. Yen Sid.
Great jazz music in Fantasia 2000.
Oh, yeah. I mean... Just fantastic music in both of them, you know, between the classical and then more of a modern take at the time for 2000. Yeah, absolutely. So it brings us up to number two.
Number two. So my number two is Gandalf.
Gandalf. Had
to be high up on that list.
Oh, 100%.
We love those movies so much.
Oh,
and he is, when you think about combat mixed with magic, he's one of the best.
I mean, he is overall what you would call, if you were to play a class that is like Gandalf in a game, he would be a Spellblade. You know, he can absolutely wield his magic on a whim and still slice you down without a second thought.
And I mean, think of everybody he's taken down over the years.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, I'm rewatching the movies. I've rewatched them a few times the past month. And you're like, this cheeky motherfucker is just a puppeteer pulling the strings through the whole fucking movie.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
oh, 100%. People's lives are
ruined, and it's his fault. I know it's for the greater good.
For the greater good, man. He fucked
some people up.
Yeah, he did. He did. Absolutely.
Like, his transformation from Gandalf the Grey to Gandalf the White is still such a memorable moment.
You know,
in literature and in movies.
If you didn't read the books and you watch the movies and he falls into that pit with the Balrog, you're just like, no!
He has no idea. He's like, the Balrog just like took him down. Took the motherfucker down.
Oh, man, my mom was pissed for, what was it, like 2 years in between the movies? She was pissed for all 2 years. I swear, you bring up the movie and she would just get so mad about Gandalf dying.
And you talk about Ian McKellen, who portrayed him, and the characters he's played over the years, and he just molds to these roles so perfectly.
Oh, absolutely.
And really,
well, he truly captured the softness of Gandalf while being able to be this badass wizard. So, yeah, excellent choice. Excellent choice.
Definitely. So what's your number two, sir?
My number two is the one and only Merlin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How'd I know it was going to be on here?
Well, he had to be. He had to be. You know, you don't have King Arthur without Merlin. Bottom line.
Not at all.
You know, they are synonymous. King Arthur, Sword in the Stone, Merlin. You can't have any one of those elements without the other elements in that story. And like I said earlier, he's been around for, you know, 800-ish years. It's crazy how long this story has stayed with humanity and stayed a big source of entertainment. You know, a lot of stories, they get aged, they get old, they're not as interesting anymore. But something about King Arthur, his sorcerer companion, and the Sword in the Stone is so timeless that it is just, you know, they're still making new stuff about it. And I love it. Absolutely love it. And plus, you know, a little guilty, the cartoon Sword in the Stone, I watched the hell out of that growing up. Absolutely love that movie. But, like, something about when they got turned into fish. I loved that part of the movie. But, yeah, Merlin absolutely had to be on my list. There's no way something as classic and legendary as this character couldn't be on both of our lists. So that brings us...
He's been mentioned for 3 weeks straight now.
3 weeks straight. 3 weeks
straight. By both of us. Go figure.
That brings us to number one. If Gandalf wasn't your number one, who's your number one?
I know. Crazy, right? So my number one is Howl.
Howl.
From Howl's Moving Castle.
Oh, man.
Howl Pendragon.
Is it Pendragon? Are you sure?
I think that was the...
He had like three pseudonyms, so...
Yeah.
But Pendragon's the one that they actually took to the castle when he was Sophie was talking to...
This is one, there are a few books you can read about it, but I haven't yet. But
they are very different from the movie. The movie is, you know, reference to it, and it's inspired by, but it is quite different. They're both fantastic in their own rights, but...
Yeah. So Howl is just this immense sort of badass. He's a little of a reckless nature, and it's such a crazy good movie.
Oh, easily in my top few. We'll do a top. Did we do a top five Ghibli? I don't think we have. I don't think we have.
Yeah, I think we did.
Did we?
Well, yeah.
Who's taking notes? Yeah, who's taking notes here? Somebody message us. Somebody let us know. But anyway, go ahead.
I love the movie, and the powers that they have in this movie are so unique, and the sorcery is not even like the biggest part of the movie. Like, obviously it's a romantic movie, and it's about losing yourself and finding yourself and love and fucking hearts that are fired little things, Calcifer and shit.
Well, you've got the fire demon who is really a star that Hal ate, and it became his heart, and you know, well, and
irresponsible parents he had.
Oh, 100%, 100%.
Honestly.
But Hal's ability too to turn into this massive like beast and literally like fly through these giant, you know, airplanes and dirigibles or whatever, the airships, if you will.
Yeah.
And just destroy them with his physical body because, like, he's badass. He absolutely is.
If I'm correct, he's from Wales, and the story sort of is like takes place within that. That's where he goes to college. That's where he starts working for what's her name, the royal witch lady. I'm not good with names. I don't remember. Her name. We'll edit that
Sullivan,
in later.
Sullivan.
Yeah. That's it.
Because I literally the way I remembered that is I remembered the king walking in while Hal is pretending to be a king, and he walks in, he's like, Solomon, I just had the greatest war. Like, that's how I remembered it.
So, and I mean, he learns from her, and it feels like his education was incomplete. Like he never fully got a grasp of himself, although he shows such mastery of it. It's like there's this untapped potential that was always there and always nagging, and he just had to find a way to walk the line between going completely insane but or losing himself altogether. And it's just this brilliant story, and I love it. That's why he jumped Gandalf on it.
Completely understand. And that brings us to my number one, which I'm sure you can guess. It's Gandalf.
Saruman.
Totally. Saruman. no, it's Gandalf. For me, it had to be Gandalf. See, Hal didn't quite make my list, namely because while he has all that untapped potential, I'm just going to shit on your number one, by the way. Well, I'm getting you back for the times you've done it to me. But he didn't really show off a whole lot of his powers. You know, right. You got to see him turn into the beast. You got to see him kind of control Calcifer and then that's wave his hand about. Over there's, a table.
Untapped potential, but yeah. It was, you succumb to it and go crazy. It's like he was so powerful that he wouldn't be able to come back from it. But yeah, go ahead.
But Gandalf.
Yeah, it's just, he was such a badass, hardcore badass, that if he completely unleashed himself, I mean, it would take over. But yeah, go ahead.
I mean, that's,
go ahead
with your... that's fair. That's
and
fair.
He had such great energy, like just oozing out of his pores. He was such a cool fucking dude.
He was and, really like, cool.
The hair cool dude. And the vanity.
Look, man, you don't have to...
Go ahead. Go ahead. You do yours. You do you, bub.
But... Gandalf had to be my number one.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. I love The Lord of the Rings. I've got books upon, you know, the multiple copies of the movies and I've got the fucking Burger King goblets. You know,
I've got probably a dozen books and I don't have enough still.
Oh, 100%. I have four or five different copies of The Lord of the Rings itself. Just Lord of the Rings. So, you know, Gandalf, when you talk about him and you immediately, you think that he's just this human, he's this wizard on Earth, but he's not. He's essentially in the Lord of the Rings universe, he's an angel. He's a Maiar.
Right.
And he was accounted as the wisest of the Maiar. And his original name was Olorin. And, you know, you get into his backstory and how much he really helped develop the world and helped, you know, the side of the light, and after he came out from the Undying Lands, and, you know, it's crazy how much more in-depth he is outside of just the story of the One Ring.
Right.
And
I mean, with such depth that Tolkien went into his storytelling and backstories on top of backstories,
he created an entire world.
Everything in.
You know, he literally created a god, a creator for his world, and right. You know, called Yuvatar, and like Iluvatar, I can't remember. You know, but you know,
how many motherfuckers are so intelligent they can create their own fucking language,
their own language, their own world, their own religions. You know, you know, this could literally, if this were picked up by this, these books were picked up by an alien, it could literally just be a history book with how in depth it gets. And, you know,
you go into like worlds like Star Wars, it leaves so much like yearning for like, I need this explained. And they're still working on that. He had that shit fucking laid out, man.
Oh, yeah.
He had it all just pages on top of pages to the point where they were releasing shit well after he passed away. His son
was touching up stuff and finding more and more books and stories that he wrote that, you know, he didn't even know about until after his father passed.
Yeah, so stuff that he's like, well, nobody's ever going to want to read this, but man, was he wrong.
Oh, yeah. So, but back to Gandalf, you know, we talked a little bit about how badass he was, about how many people he took, but he had such an influence on Middle Earth. He had, like five different names? You know, he was known as Gandalf by... you know, men. He was known as Mithrandir from the elves, and Nakus, and Tharkun from the dwarves. Like, he was known by so many different names, and it was so crazy how much that he truly influenced everything that went on. And
exactly.
And as a Maiar, as this kind of angelic being, he couldn't actually like directly do certain things. Like that's why he didn't just take the ring. Was he powerful enough? Sure. But just like any person, any being, he would have been corrupted by it. Exactly. So he influenced.
And he knew the ramifications of somebody that powerful getting
something even that much more powerful. Like, so he really was, like you said, he was the puppet master. He was the influencer of all this stuff that happened. And he had to be my number one. I just love the character and I love the lore and the whole Middle Earth and universe. Yeah. That one had to be on there.
I mean, just imagine the power. Just imagine a ring wraith with the power of Gandalf.
Oh, Jesus, like, Christ. Done. Those poor hobbits wouldn't have stood a chance.
I want to give nods to the man himself, Aleister Crowley, the modern mage, the modern... He literally wrote the book on modern-day magic. Nicholas yes. Flamel, who created the first Philosopher's Stone, so they say, you know. Some of the like Shazam's getting popular right now. Zatanna is showing up big in the DC cartoon universe.
Oh,
which
yeah.
is awesome. You got Sabrina Spellman from Sabrina the Teenage Witch, which got its reboot. I think its final season came out a month ago or something.
The Netflix Sabrina is fantastic. It follows yeah. like the dark comics that were written. Fantastic. Yeah. Wonderful. So you've got characters like Kiki, another, you know, she's a witch, Studio Ghibli. You have some ancient mythology. You have Circe and somebody correct me, you know, who is literally the goddess of witches. And then Circe, who was, you know, one of her biggest followers. You had, of course, you know, how can you forget Harry Potter as a not notable mention? You know, he wasn't the greatest in school, but you know, he did so much and he fought so hard. He's the main character.
You can run down a list of just 100
Harry Potter characters.
That universe. You know? I mean, it's literally a book about them.
Whole 7 books, as a matter of fact. You know, get into video games. You have Kamek, the Magic Koopa from Super Mario. You have Shang Tsung from Mortal Kombat. You have Triss Marigold from The Witcher. You know, witch is literally in the name. Come on.
Yeah.
Tella from Final Fantasy. You have, what is it? King Arthur's sister, Morgana Le Fay. You know, and we can't, of course, we already mentioned Saruman, but Sauron was also considered like a sorcerer kind of character.
He was
a fallen Maiar. You have the White Witch from The Lion, Witch, and the Wardrobe.
You have Glinda, the Good Witch.
Elphaba, the Wicked Witch of the West. You have Ursula. And
I would be remiss if I didn't mention Lo Pan from Big Trouble in Little China.
Of course. You also have, I mean, you have the movie The Witches, the Grand High Witch that turns all the little boys and stuff into mice. You have Maleficent.
What was that Disney one? Halloween Town?
Halloween Town.
You got them motherfuckers, let's throw them in.
Yeah, sure. Sticking with Disney, you know, Maleficent. You can't pass up Maleficent. I mean, she's one of the most well-known. She was one of the major villains in the Kingdom Hearts series.
Yep.
And then I'll finish off my list with two. Vivi from Final Fantasy. Everybody knows the black mage look. And if you think of that style, you think Vivi. Even if you've never played Final Fantasy IX, you think Vivi. You just know that name. And then the Goblin King. come on, it's David Bowie. Bowie of himself.
Practice magic himself. He rumored Jimmy Page. Also, we've had that discussion about how Jimmy Page and David Bowie had this thing. Bowie thought Page was casting spells on him and putting curses on him. And the only way, as everybody knows, to prevent a curse from being put on you is to have a jar of their piss in your refrigerator.
Well, yeah.
So, the good sport that Jimmy Page was, gave Bowie a jar of piss to keep in his refrigerator so he wouldn't ever think, you know, there's also the like 3 year period where he was coked out 24/7 and eating nothing but bell peppers. So he might have, there might have been something else going on there. But you know what? We got great music out of it.
But so, but yeah, some great notable mentions. There you go, guys. Our top five wizards. If you have a top five of your own, please let us know. You can reach out and find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. You can email us at 2dap2020@gmail.com. That's where you're going to do the rundown.
Yeah, now?
Yeah.
We'll do the rundown. Okay. You can find us on Facebook, Instagram,
I literally Twitter. Just said that.
I love doing that.
So you can
also
find
the podcast. If you're listening to this on the podcast, everywhere podcasts are available, don't forget to watch the live streams on Twitch every Thursday at 7:30 unless otherwise notified.
Yes, yes, yes. And starting, I want to say starting soon, I'm going to start getting the videos uploaded to YouTube so you can both watch. You know, sometimes we have stuff that we like to show off. You know, sometimes we, you know, wear the same clothes and you can't tell whether we recorded it multiple days or not.
Yeah.
Actually, who knows?
I've not taken this hoodie off in a month and a half.
That's right. That's right. Oh. So, but thank you guys so much for listening, and we'll catch you later.
We love you all.